You are tuned to KPTZ in Port Townsend. Coming up next, Brewocracy Now, our weekly chat with Whichon Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, and who is not in town today. So we still have time to send your questions to dj@kptz.org. We're going to be talking to John on the phone shortly. Again, that address, dj@kptz.org. In the background, a little coffee blues. Welcome, John.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. You sound nice and clear. I was a little worried about that, but I'm good now. Welcome back to Brewocracy Now. You are taking a well-deserved break. Tell the audience where you are.
Yeah, I'm out here on Lopez Island. I'm looking at some of my friends who are on bikes, and I think I'm at the Lopez Center for Community and the Arts, which has a fantastic little skate park and a little community bandstand kind of presentation space. And it's a beautiful sunny day, which I expect it is back in Port Townsend. So I'm technically not working today, and I haven't been the last couple. So I couldn't pass up a chance to talk to you today.
Well, on that subject, I was just wondering, because you are on vacation, when your phone rings, does your wife say, don't answer that?
She's wiser than I. Oftentimes I'll answer it, but a lot of times I don't have coverage, it seems, around here. So I just saw a treasure trove of emails pop up on my phone when I was running to get some cell bandwidth here. And I tend to look at it a little too much. It's nice to check out for a day or so.
Well, at some point we have to talk about countywide broadband, since you brought it up. Until then, there's no shortage of topics, and one of the things I would like to get to right at the beginning is a listener question, and I think that you may be able to guess if you go through the your Rolodex of questions that you are asked. This one, I think, would be at the top. It will speak for itself.
Okay.
And this one is from Julia. She says, my question is, what do you see as the city's role in dealing with the upcoming crisis in evictions and increasing numbers of unsheltered families and elders within the city? Will the city look at increasing tenant protections like many cities in Washington? So there you have it, John.
That's great. Well, let's just jump right into it. I like being put on the spot. And I think, I feel like in a way, as a community, unfortunately, we're kind of in reaction mode right now with the housing crisis, but we've seen it coming a long time. And I think, I'm not trying to point fingers or anything, but I think, this is not new. There's a 5-year homeless housing task force and plan pulled together. And that was, I think, right as just before I started, in fact, in 2019. I think just from memory, it was, 1,370 some odd units needed in the next 20 years. And I think since then, it's only gotten worse. And so I really appreciate Julia's question. I think we had this deadline of June 30th because of, the governor's eviction moratorium, likely going to be ending then. It didn't. It got kind of extended, bridged with a couple of measures that, encourage people to kind of be looking for housing. And those who are actively looking, trying to pay their rents, cannot be evicted. But then, of course, conceivably, that'll end too. And so, this is something at the city we've been actively talking to a number of folks about. I think there are a bunch of different groups trying to handle this, including some I believe Julie is a part of, thinking about the housing task force, which is really city and county and provider and advocate. Of course, there's a lot of work around the fairgrounds, transition there. There's a number of things like, through the permitting process right now, we're kind of in the thick of it with a community build project and a space for a temporary wooden shelter encampment on 10th and Hancock. And of course, with the county kind of leading the charge here, but really with us actively participating, be a feasible space. And I know it's been contestable. We've heard from the community in different parts of the county that some spots are untenable and some are a little less so. I think I want to paint a picture that there's a lot of pieces out there that need to come together. In terms of actual protections, the city can offer, things like utility bill assistance. And those are things that we're not going to shut anybody's utilities off during this crisis or right thereafter, because it's just the wrong thing to do. Those are things in our direct control that we can actually deal with. But there's just some legal and interpretive challenges with, what we can do, what we have the right to do in terms of, what the state and the federal government really their responsibility is. So, Tim, I'm trying to paint a picture here of a lot of things coming together, but there's it's a little bit like Swiss cheese here. I feel like there's a few gaps in the thing. So maybe I'll just stop there and say these are all being considered. We're trying to figure out what the city can do to make tangible change and to kind of prepare for what's going to be, we expect, an increasing challenge with the unsheltered.
Well, I think that any reasonable person realizes the depth of this problem and the difficulty of the solution also. But questions do arise, and one of them that comes to me on the same path has to do with Mill Road and the recent article in the Leader about that particular option. One of the quotes from the Leader said that this kind of made sense because it is in the annexation path of Port Townsend and that it has future potential beyond that of a campground. I don't know. I guess I'm asking for general thoughts from you. You did speak about the housing task force, and I'm sure that none of these decisions are made in a vacuum. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I do. I just want to be a little careful of who's the decision maker and what the certainty is. I could say that through the county commission, they're actively looking for spaces to use or to purchase even. And they've been having that conversation very actively at their commission meetings on Monday. So I don't want to, get in the way of that or contradict any of that process. Likewise, the Housing Task Force there's a shelter subcommittee on which Mayor Sandoval sits, and they've considered it in with their opinions. I think the basic big picture summary is, There's not a real ton of agreement on exactly what the right space is. Frankly, I don't think there is a great place. There's not a great option. I'll tell you what I think about in terms of what lenses I use to evaluate, these spaces. Obviously, cost is one of them. Some of these parcels cost quite a lot more than others, and that's a consideration, because any costs you incur purchasing space is not money that you can use on services and actually building it out or infrastructure, whatever it might be. I think, another possible lens is, just location and thinking, what services do people need and how are they going to be provided? And some of those things include, if we're thinking about a longer-term build-out and not just an immediate need, which I fully support, thinking about this in stages. We worked through this early on with the county trying to put up a proposal to the federal government for an earmark jointly to try to do this together. And provision of water, those kinds of things are critically important. And the tricky thing about, I'm not going to say it's a terrible option, because I think that would, I'll just put me right in the front and center of the conversation that's happening at the county commissioner level. But I can say that there's a slice of a few square feet. There's just a tiny slice of that Mill Road property that's in the city limits, in a corner outside the city. So, annexation is a process, nor is extension. So if we're thinking near-term action, And even is it, want to be a little realistic. I mean, maybe for annexation, UGA, maybe that's not something that will be allowed. I think I want to be a little cautious on how complex that process is and what's required.
Well, Mr. Morrow, there are...
It has questions.
Yeah, well, there you are quite broken up. So maybe if you could take this chance to move location, we can douse for a better signal for you and hope for the best on that one. And to the audience, I apologize for that. None of this is easy given our current infrastructure. Although I am glad that we're able to hear at least most of your thoughts on that. And,
can you hear me now, Tim?
I can hear you better. And okay. You know, part of me, because you're on vacation, would like to speak about something happy and fun, or at least along the spectrum of difficult questions, potholes, something like that. However, we are in the midst of two extremely difficult situations, one of them being the rise in COVID cases, the 130, we're pushing the 500 case mark here in Jefferson County. The projection for the council chambers to open to in-person on August 2nd, is that still in the works, or are things changing as we speak?
Yeah, I mean, look, I can't say that things are set in stone. And I think I've always been a little tentative about that date. And this was before the uptick in cases. And, you know, having been off the last several days, it's really hard to know. I mean, we had some discussions amongst department directors as the CDC was changing some of their guidance for vaccinated people. You know, we just went through a really, as a community, as a city, as a region, really challenging process of dialing up and then dialing back some of the restrictions on, you know, spacing and capacity and masking. And, you know, the whole time I feel compelled to try to tell the story of what's appropriate and to compel, you know, to encourage people to get with the program and to, you know, help us get through this. And largely you could say the city of Port Townsend and Jefferson County have been doing an exceptional job. I think we're being tested right now yet again, and we're all tired. We're all, I mean, you know, look, I don't want to necessarily go back to some of those precautions, you know, that we were taking before. But the fact of the matter is, if the numbers keep ticking the wrong direction, we will have to act, and especially if the state and the federal government compel us to do that. So I'd love to enter. I mean, I know all council members, I can say, are, you know, vaccinated fully. You know, most of the staff is. I certainly am. You know, that's personal information, and I can't disclose, you know, right down to the person. But we feel comfortable entering the chambers based on, you know, those are who are vaccinated, they can enter without masks and without the distancing requirements. But if now we're going to have a, you know, uptick in cases and some guidance at the federal level that says even vaccinated folks might need to be wearing masks, or at least it's advisable to be wearing masks indoors in crowded spaces, it has me scratching my head about what to do on August 2nd. And I guess I could say now, as I'm literally brainstorming what to do, the precautionary approach would be to say, let's give this another month. Let's give it a little bit more time until we enter chambers. We've done it for a month, a year and a half. It's really great to see people in person, to open up the city hall, that's the people's house. But if it's going to possibly increase the level of danger, then I'm not prepared to go there.
And that is, of course, understandable. Just on a personal note, I, like many people in Port Townsend, get constant guests company during this time of year when the sun is out. And I did take a ride to Hurricane Ridge with some friends, and it was packed, as I expected. And I'm not really a math person, but in my mind, with that number of people, I would expect somewhere around 40% of those folks would be wearing masks as the unvaccinated population. Can measure it with that. And there was not a single mask. So, like I said, some of this is common sense. It's what we see through our own eyes, whether we want to take it any further than that. But that is a fact, that certain of these restrictions do not seem to be working, or at least not working well.
Yeah, I think it's just people's behavior, and not to rail. It's probably very dangerous for me to be on vacation and be kind of philosophizing anything about human behavior, because I'm certainly, you know, guilty of all sorts of offenses, and I'm not perfect. But, you know, if anybody listening is on the fence on, oh, is this vaccination thing worth it? I mean, my goodness, you know, the reason why we need people to get vaccinated is so we don't live in this constant limbo what can we do? Can we open businesses? Can we hire workers? Can we get back to things we are used to doing? Can we have our festivals in Port Townsend? And then, frankly, what happens when it gets colder and wetter out? What's it going to mean for congregate care? What's it going to mean for gathering in person? And if we can't snuff this out, you know, because people are choosing not to get vaccinated, you know, some arguably cannot. I mean, some people are allergic to contents of vaccines, and I don't want to sound punitive here. That's an unfortunate situation, or there might be really staunch religious beliefs that get in the way. But we've been doing vaccinations, you know, think about polio. They lined people up and gave them shots, you know, so this isn't anything terribly new. And we've been in this for a year and a half. So anybody who's on the fence, now's the time to jump off and help us get through this.
I'll second that. On other subjects, it's been, I think, just an example of how city government is continued to work. The appointments to Arts Commission, the Lodging Planning Commission, these things are still rolling. The city is still still here and still functioning, and
we don't have an option, Tim.
No, you don't. And I think the main thing right now is for you, the Port Townsend city manager, and your family to enjoy your time on Lopez Island, and and we'll come back and hit this hard. And I'm sure that I have I'll get some questions that are basically go pretty deep into some of these subjects that we talked about. But I have no more for you right now, and I think I would just like to hear that you're out there on that bicycle with your family, enjoying the sun, and wish I was there too, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, next time, Tim, I'm just looking at multiple Frisbees in the air, kids running around, and dear friends of ours from Seattle and from Vashon Island who we're able to be out with. So it is joyous, and I would thank you for your agility and KPTZ to just hear me out here, as broken and poor as the audio is. And yeah, we'll get back to it. But it's summertime, and for those who can't enjoy it, get out and enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much, Sean, and we'll talk to you again next week.
That sounds good, Tim. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Well, this has been a short version of Brewocracy. Now, given the quality of our phone connection, we like to do things as well as we can here in Port Townsend. Sometimes technology gets a little bit in the way, but we will pick it up again next Thursday. And remember to send your questions in. DJ@kptz.org. How about something by Jeff Buckley to take us out? Mama, you've been on my mind.